So my name's Sandy Magana. I'm also at UIC and in the Department of Disability and Human Development, and I'm going to be presenting about improving health behaviors of Latina mothers of youth and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And Hanan is here, who helped analyze the data and has been working with me on this project as well. No disclosures. So just to give a little background, I'm really glad that you provided a definition of intellectual and developmental disabilities, so I don't have to do that. And you provided a definition of autism. We did have some parents of families with autism as well. So we did this project as a very community-based sort of approach. We worked with a community organization, El Valor, which is in Chicago, and they provide services to families that have children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They have young children programs, older children, they have lots of programs, and they serve a large population of Latino families. And then we also worked with another community organization called the Community Support Services in Cicero, which actually also provide has a large Latino clientele. And we use Promotoras de Salud, and I'll explain a little bit more about that, but many people have probably been hearing a lot at the conference about community health workers or Promotoras. But we had a number of Promotoras from these two different agencies that we worked with and trained, and, of course, graduate students. I'm going to give you a brief background of why we developed this program, the need for this program, and a little bit about the theory that we're using and program curriculum that we use, as well as the training, and then also the results. We had a home visit model, and then we also had a group model. So if we have time, I'll talk about the group model. If not, we can I can talk to you about that individually or whatever. But the home visit model was the larger part of the study. And then qualitative findings as well as quantitative ones and next steps. So one of the issues, actually more than half of adults with developmental disabilities live with their families. And that number is even higher for Latino families and African-American families. So minority families tend to live with their adults with intellectual disabilities tend to live with their families, you know, throughout their life course. At least the majority of them do. And that could be, you know, one of the issues as well is that that many of them are at home all the way till death. And so that presents interesting situations as well. One of the things in terms of the research on Latina mothers, older mothers of adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities that live at home, research finds that compared to Latina moms that don't have children with disabilities, they're more likely to have higher rates of depression, more likely to have chronic health conditions like arthritis and heart problems, and they're less likely to see a doctor themselves. So, you know, these are some of the things that the mothers as caregivers go through. One of the things that for those of you who work in the field of disabilities, you know that how the service system is set up, where the services are designed for the person with a disability, but not for the family caregiver so much, right? There's not a lot of support provided to families. Nobody's asking the mother, so how are you doing? Are you seeing a doctor? Are you, you know, nobody's asking about her health, right? That's one of the challenges in terms of our service system. How do we make it more family-friendly as well? And one of the things we find, too, in research is that the Latino moms often identify their caregiving role as their primary responsibility, you know, throughout their life. There's also the cultural issue of feeling like family comes first and then me, and it's kind of selfish to take care of yourself when you have family members that need help. So we really need cultural interventions that help the Latina moms focus on their own health care needs and why that's important. And so that's why we developed this. I want to talk a little bit of self-efficacy theory. I mean, the first thing we actually did was we looked at practices and the literature to see what kind of health interventions might be appropriate. And one of the things that we did observe was that there was a lot of use of promotoras de salud, or community health workers, in the Southwest and even in Chicago and also on the West Coast, especially around chronic health diseases, you know, like diabetes or heart conditions or other kinds of things. We didn't see very much going on in the area of intellectual disabilities or caregivers of intellectual disabilities. So we actually started by identifying what kind of intervention we wanted to do before we thought about the theory. But and really the literature on promotoras doesn't really describe a lot of theory. They just say this is what we did and this works. And so we're trying to think about, well, what is it that makes it work? And you know, one of the theories that seemed to fit really well was self-efficacy theory, you know, which is pretty prominent in the health behavior literature, you know, including things like performance accomplishment, vicarious experience, verbal persuasion, emotional states. These are elements that if the promotoras were able to engage participants in those elements, you know, could be helpful. So this is just describing a little more about the promotoras de salud. One of the key elements of it, and we were talking about navigators and promotoras, right? So they're very similar, I would say, but one of the key elements with a promotora is that they are part of that community. Now, navigators, in the navigator literature, they can be part of the community, but sometimes they can be professionals, so it's a little broader. But it's really important for community health workers that they're part of the community of people that, you're trying to serve. So they have that sort of cultural bridge, and in this case, bilingual, or you know, being able to speak Spanish, providing a communication bridge. The other thing that we did in this particular project, which is somewhat unique because the promotoras aren't always, you know, representing the people, the participants that they are serving, but we did require that the moms, that the promotoras be mothers of children with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we felt that was really important because if we want them to have these sort of vicarious experiences or be able to relate to them, that it was important they knew what that experience was about, being a caregiver or a parent. So we developed a curriculum. We pilot tested this in Wisconsin, actually, you know, with a curriculum, and then we took it to Chicago. But this is just basically some of the elements in there. I mean, it's nothing new, or you know, we didn't create this information. A lot of this information is well established in terms of healthcare, nutrition, exercise, those kinds of things. The first session, though, we really had to have a conversation about what it does it mean to take care of yourself, and that was really important because that was hard for moms to have that conversation about, you know, understanding that, in fact, the program is called By Caring for Myself, I Can Care Better for My Family. It's kind of long, but it was really important because without that, by, you know, I can care better for my family, it felt really selfish for these moms. So that was a conversation that we needed to have in the first session. The second session, when we're talking about healthcare, we really talk about the mom having a healthcare visit, you know, actually seeing a doctor themselves, having preventative care, what are all the checkups and things they should have for their age, giving them that information, even doing some role playing with them on, you know, what questions they would bring to the doctor and how they would bring up those questions. I'll give you an example with sort of how we made the material more culturally relevant. So people are probably familiar now with it used to be the pyramid. When we started, it was the pyramid. Now it's the My Plate. So you have this plate with different sectioned off foods, you know, that you're supposed to eat in different proportions. And that just is really foreign to how many Latino families eat. Like, you don't eat separate items. And so we talk about it in the context of the foods that people actually eat. So you may have a dish that includes everything together, right? You may have all of those elements in one dish. You're not necessarily going to have them sectioned off. But the other thing we did, and we did this for exercise too, is we talked about most of the mothers were immigrants. So we talked about what did you eat in your country of origin? And a lot of times it was healthy food, unless they came from a big city where the food is more like the United States, but with the fast food places all over the place. But usually, I mean, like if you, and most of our mothers were of Mexican descent. So if you think of a Mexican diet, we're not talking about Taco Bell, right? We're talking about rice and beans, you know, lots of fruits, not very much meat. Corn tortillas can be very, you know, all these things are healthy. Avocado, you know, those are all very healthy foods. So we talk about that and acknowledge that that's a healthy diet. And then how can you bring that diet back? And how can you do, you know, prepare a healthy diet in the context of your child with intellectual developmental disabilities and other family members as well to include them? So we did training after we developed our content. We had this 8-week program and initially recruited 10 promotoras from these two agencies. We had a group format training, about 14 hours. We reviewed the content of the manual, but also different strategies for home visits. And it was interesting because we could have the discussions, you know, while we're going through the content with the promotoras that they would have with their participants. So they, in a sense, were participants, but also, you know, they gave us a lot of feedback during the course of that, too. We even made changes based on some of their feedback. The promotoras received a stipend. We had obtained a grant, and for each case that they completed, each family where they did 8 home visits. And then we had communication between the promotoras and coordinator. So I'm going to skip through a lot of this and get to the results because we're running out of time. But we did do a randomized trial. So we started with 100. We recruited 100 Spanish-speaking parents, mothers of youth and adults with intellectual disability, and randomized them into a group that would receive the intervention right away and a group that was on a waiting list. And both of them received pre- and post-tests. And, you know, just real generally, they were very similar across the different demographic characteristics. So they had similar education levels, fairly low education and income. The only thing they were different on was employment, where the control group had higher rates of employment than the treatment group, the intervention group. 92, over 90% of them were immigrants. The majority of them, only one other Latino from each group, the majority of them were of Mexican descent. Children, you know, you could just see a little bit about some of their disabilities, many with autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, other intellectual disabilities. So I'm going to get to the results, and this is showing basically self-efficacy. That was one of our questions. Did they feel more confident about carrying out the health behaviors is basically what our measure was. And you can see that the intervention group is the green one. The intervention, the pre- and post-test. So the blue, these colors, oh yeah, the blue is the pre-test and the green is the post-test. So the intervention group obviously had some changes. The control group did not have changes in this case, and those were significant differences. Then we also looked at health behaviors, and this is sort of, we had health behaviors divided into three subcategories: exercise, nutrition, and self-care. And if you look at them all together, you can see there's differences in the intervention group between pre and post, but not the control group. And then if you looked at them individually, you can see this is exercise. So interesting thing, there was a higher level of improvement in exercise behaviors for the intervention group, but there also was some improvement for the treatment group, for the control group. And then this is self-care. Again, intervention group showed results. And then this was nutrition. And intervention group showed results. And these are self-reported behaviors. Then we looked at caregiver efficacy, we didn't find results there. We looked at depression because, you know, the reports, and you reported about depression among mothers too. And we found that both groups actually reduced their depressive symptoms, which was interesting. Probably the intervention group slightly more, but it still wasn't a significant difference between the two groups. And then also with caregiver burden, we found that both of them were reduced, so that wasn't a significant area. So our main findings were related to the health-related self-efficacy as well as the behavior, the treatment behaviors. And so I'm going to skip over to some of our qualitative results just to give you some of the quotes here. You know, so one mother said it helped me to eat more fruits and exercises that relax me or relieve stress. This one talked about that relationship between the promotora, which was really important. The conversations with the promotora helped me a lot because I learned that I am needed in the lives of my sons with special needs and that I have to take care of myself so that they can be well. And through this program, one has the opportunity to share what one feels and knows that they can listen to us. And it's important for me to have time and do things I like without feeling like I'm putting my family to the side. So those were messages that we wanted them to get. And then in terms of next steps, we do have additional data that we're going to look at. So we have data 6 months after baseline, as well as 12 months after baseline that we can look at with the two groups. So we haven't examined that yet. Because it is important to sustain these kind of behaviors over time. And then dissemination. We are in the process of just trying to make the materials available if somebody else wants to use this. We did do a little pilot study in Madison with African-American moms, so we do have a slightly adapted version for African-American moms, and the parents that went through that program really enjoyed it as well. So, you know, we would like to, if anybody's interested, you can contact me. I have my card here if you're interested in figuring out how to carry out a similar program and, you know, with a community-based organization that you know. It's not that expensive because, you know, we are using community workers and, you know, it is important to compensate them and have somebody who kind of coordinates the project. But over the long term, I mean, it can lower health costs of these mothers and also make sure that they're able to provide long-term care if that's what the family and the person with IDD chooses. So thank you very much.
The program. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something with regards to the diet being healthy and sort of enforcing and encouraging the continuation of, you know, eating those traditional foods.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. We did talk. I believe part of our educational manual does include, you know, some information about that, about portion size, about you know, using less salt, less grease, you know, all of those kinds of things. But I don't remember if any of the items in the nutrition part actually asked about portion size. Do you remember, Hanan? They didn't, right? Yeah. So we didn't have. So that's a good point, though.
Other questions? Any general discussion related to any of the presentations? Great. Well, let's have another round of applause for Paul.
Thank you.